From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM WBTV LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. Today on Write the Book, you'll hear an interview with Vermont poet Judith Chalmer, whose new collection is Minnow, published by Kelsey Books. Judith is in the same position that a lot of authors find themselves in isolation and unable to launch their new books. I'm inviting Vermont authors and poets in that position to reach out and let me know if you'd like to be interviewed about your work. My conversation with Judith is the first in this series of mini interviews. Judith Chalmer is the author of two collections of poems, Minnow, published by Kelsey Books, and Out of History's Junk Jar, published by Time Being Books. She is co-translator of two books of haiku and tanka with Michiko Oishi, Redfish Alphabet, published by Honami Soyoten, and Deepening Snow, published by Plowboy Press. Before retiring, she was director of VSA Vermont, now Inclusive Arts Vermont, a nonprofit in arts and disability, for which she received the 2018 Arthur Williams Award from the Vermont Arts Council for Meritorious Service in the Arts. She currently serves on the board of the Vermont Humanities Council. Here are a few excerpts of what some readers have said about Judith Chalmer's new collection. Allison Prine, author of Steel, writes, "Sensuous, vivid, and richly detailed, Minnow wakes us to the urgency and grace of natural landscapes and intimate connections. Through close, reverent observation, Judith Chalmer depicts the world around us, between us, and within us. These poems pulse with tenderness, awe, and beauty, but beneath this is a palpable undercurrent of fear and vulnerability." According to James Cruz, editor of Healing the Divide, Poems of Kindness and Connection, in her outstanding collection, Minnow, Judith Chalmer asks early on, why not begin simple in speech, plain in your mild rapture? Yet though these poems unravel deliciously their simple, accessible lines, there is nothing mild or plain about the raptures they weave out of the most ordinary, miraculous details of a life spent in love with the natural world and in love with life itself. And Sue D. Burton, author of Box, writes, "A song for our later years, knowing sorrow but still shimmering with celebration, Minnow is affirmation, is ritual, a thanksgiving for the natural world and for love." Those are excerpts of longer comments from readers of Minnow. When I spoke with Judith Chalmer, I asked her to begin by reading the poem Autumn, which opens her new collection. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
Autumn. And if there are sorrows, not the duckweed in the dense, sulfurous mud, nor the grumbling party boat motoring to the dock, not the clothesline cinched or the last open flap tucked neatly into the tent, not the dog bed dampish under the table or the sticky branch piled next to the fire, not the gull raising a baffled wing, loose feather floating over the lake, not the tilted tarp or the bandaged stance of birch, not the rinse bucket or the ragged cloth. None of these will mind them. When the book bag yawns, when the chipmunk dives, when the young loon feeds, when the songbird preens, and the fog starts to break and the web starts to sag, when the acorn drops and the lichen curls, when the beetle shines and the rain jacket drips, would that I too could unknow this longing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I read that the other day, but having you read it brings it all to life now again.
Thank you.
I love that. So it starts with and, which is interesting, and then it moves into this kind of meditative knot. Do you want to talk a little bit about this poem and how it came to you?
Yes, sure. I think that the book in general comes from a process of really close observation in nature, really trying to notice. Then use that as a jumping off point for talking about purpose and mortality and love, you know, sort of the big questions. So this poem has less narrative in it and kind of more of a cascade of imagery. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hoping is that it forms an invitation into this process of looking around and then delving more into meaning as the book continues.
Wonderful. And so now I notice that, you know, your poems very often feature the natural world, and kind of this overwhelming sense of gratitude is something I pick up in your poems.
Oh, thank you for noticing that. I think that if I had any hope for this book, it would be that it would be an expression of gratitude. Mm. Gratitude for not just the natural world, but the people who nurture it, protect it, and share it. Most of the poem's imagery are situated in state and municipal parks and other kinds of public lands. And I know that those lands are that the safety and the protections for those lands are imperiled right now. I wrote the book and sent it to the publisher before I had heard about land recognition, which, as I understand it, is a request by Native American peoples, and in this area, the Abenaki people, to acknowledge that when people gather, they're gathering on land that was taken by force, taken without contract, and remains unceded, in fact. Mm-hmm. And so when I do readings, I certainly want to include that awareness in that and add that to my appreciation for what has become public land as we know it, so that I'm valuing both of those.
Right. Now, we're having this conversation during this period of isolation for the world, basically, because of this pandemic. Are you finding yourself able to get out and be in the natural world right now?
I'm very grateful that to live in an area where natural beauty is accessible. Very, very grateful. Mm-hmm. In fact, yesterday I went to a state park with my partner, Lisa, and we had a walk that was just beautiful and solitary.
I wonder, Judith, if you can talk a little bit about how a poem begins for you and what your process is like from the first idea to the draft, to the revision, to the final poem. And I know that's kind of a big question, but just sort of an idea of the flow of it for you.
Sure. Mostly I start out going outside and making observations. When I come home, I begin by just keeping those as notes. And not every poem comes from a single experience outside. I generally keep notes of observations. But when I start to create a poem, then I do a kind of interior scan. And what usually I discover are the questions that are on my mind. Mm-hmm. And so the process of writing then becomes a process of weaving them together, seeing how they can inform one another. There are a few sort of other themes in the book that are intertwined with observations of the natural world. And one of them, of course, is love and a great appreciation for the love that I found with my partner, Lisa. Mm-hmm. And another is sort of the Jewish traditions that have informed my interior imagery, the way I make meaning. So those are kind of woven in and out of these discussions of mortality. reality and purpose and awe.
Yeah.
And love. Yeah.
And it's really clear in reading your work how much you love the wordplay and the sounds of words and the rhythm and how they're placed together. I actually don't think autumn had a lot of alliteration, but in some of your work I saw some beautiful, clear alliteration, never heavy-handed, and always really appropriate. But in this one, you have that repetition of not, and then toward the end, it becomes a repetition of when, which is maybe opening up into something a little bit more hopeful. That was fun. So anyone, can you talk a little bit about that aspect of being a poet, of playing with words and sounds?
Well, thank you. That also makes me really smile to hear you notice that. My favorite part of writing is revision.
Oh.
I just adore the multiple possibilities of language, and I love the music of language. Mm-hmm. So I'm very intentional about the sound, so it pleases me that it's something that's noticeable. Yeah.
Great. Let's see. So Judith, I always like to ask guests if they've read any books lately that they might recommend to people who are listening, and especially now where people are just really needing books. Is there anything you'd recommend that you've run across lately, or old-time favorites?
Yes. Oddly enough, I have recently read a book. I'm not really a fan of dystopian books, because they depress me, but especially now.
Yeah.
But I read recently a very short book that it's called The Emissary, or maybe it's just called Emissary, by Yoko Tawada, and it's a short novel. It's situated in Japan, post-climate and medical disaster, which, you know, seems like the thing that I wouldn't want to read it all right now, but it is so. It's really a love letter to life. It's gentle. It's beautiful. It's sorrowful in the way that sorrow can open your heart. So I love that.
Hmm.
The other novel that I think of right now, I think of almost from another perspective of the utopian aspect. Though, of course, that crumbles, as utopians do. And that is Lauren Groff's Arcadia.
Oh, okay.
From the point of view of a child who was brought up in a mid-20th century utopian commune. And, of course, and it really, it's so gentle. It really appreciates the intent of love and collaboration and cooperation. And it's very clear-eyed about the flaws. You know, I gravitate in general to compassion mm-hmm. in what I read. Mm-hmm. I care more about that than just about anything. When I read books that are full of pain, I want the authors to love their characters, like Marilynne Robinson. You know, I don't know if I could ever come near to achieving it, but I want for my writing. That would be the thing I would want for my writing, in addition to gratitude, is somehow for it to be compassionate.
Hmm. And then my last question, and again, this is kind of open-ended, but I leave it that way so that you can take it where you want to, but do you have any advice for, I was going to say other poets, but maybe even beginning poets, or it occurs to me that there are probably people who are playing with writing for the first time in a long time if they're at home right now. I don't know, any advice for people that are trying to work with words?
Well, that's interesting that you ask, because I'm in a conversation now with a friend about poetry,
mm-hmm.
and one of the questions that we are talking about is relationship, in terms of a writer's relationship with a reader, because there are different kinds of writing. There is journal writing, which people often do only for themselves, and it's extremely valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's writing that people do to share and hope that will be published, and that's a different that writing may start out as a journal kind of writing, but then it changes into a different form of communication. So especially in these times of isolation, one of the things that I think is rewarding and enriching to do as a writer is to be in conversation as we write, to feel that connection with a reader whom we might not even know, and write generously for that reader.
Wonderful. That's great advice. So the name, again, of the book is Minnow, published by Kelsey Books, and the poet is Judith Chalmer. Thank you very much for speaking with me, Judith.
Thank you so much, Shayla.
From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM WBTV LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. That was an interview with the Vermont poet Judith Chalmer. You can learn more about her new collection, Minnow, at her publisher's website, kelseybooks.com. This week's Write the Book prompt was generously suggested by my guest, Judith Chalmer. Start observing using your hand. This can be a very rich approach to writing, Judith says, because what comes to hand can be physical and what comes to hand can be metaphysical. The hand itself is a landscape that can be a wonderful subject. But apart from that, the exercise offers a way of starting close in and moving out, with observation as the starting point. Good luck with your work in the coming week, and tune in next week for another prompt or suggestion. The bookworm's calendar is empty for the coming week. There is nothing going on. It's all been canceled, and that's a shame, but it's really important so that we can get past this period of time, get past this virus, and move on safe and healthy. I hope you're all quarantining and finding important things to do with your time, whether that be writing or working or relaxing or a little bit of everything. I'd like to let Vermont authors know that if you've just had or about to have a book come out and your launch was canceled because of this pandemic, please be in touch. I'll be posting mini interviews on my podcast site with local poets and authors that are in this position. And for all of you who are trying to write while in isolation, do be sure to check the archives of Write the Book, because each episode does offer a prompt, and I write those out each week on the podcast site under the recorded interview. I would love your feedback about the show. Let me know if you'd like me to interview certain authors or if you have events to announce. Be sure to tell your friends about Write the Book and about the podcast site, writethebook.podbean.com. We are also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Google Play, and lots of other podcast sites. You can visit Write the Book on Twitter and on Facebook for updates, and you can also access the podcast at my own website, shelaughswithoutus.com. If you like the show, please do rate it on iTunes, like it on Facebook, and talk about it. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. You've been listening to Write the Book. This is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP, Burlington, Vermont. Streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. Stay healthy and have a great week.